Only smart people get up early enough to listen to the Francine Marie Show. So thanks for listening, smarty pants.
Oi, Billy! Oscar! Dave! Get up! Francine Marie Show's on!
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Nick Wharton is here. He's our Charlotte Area Fund President and CEO. He's going to tell us all about it during the show. Could y'all please go to charlottearefund.org? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am fabulous. The Charlotte Area Fund sounds so familiar. Why?
Well, it should be. It's been around for almost 60 years. Started in 1963. And really got affirmed in a major way in 1964 when President Lyndon Johnson then signed his executive order that created the Economic Opportunity Act, that created Head Start, community action agencies, legal services, and a whole range of services to really marshal in the war on poverty. Community action agencies was the flagship initiative. So there are 1,000 community action agencies across the country, 34 in North Carolina, and they're the only anti-poverty federal program, really, in the nation. And so back then, it was clear that federal intervention was required to reduce poverty. And so as you see, years later, we are still fighting that challenge. And the Charlotte Area Fund, its mission is to help reduce the barriers to poverty for low-income people in Mecklenburg County. And we've been doing it for that long.
We talk about economic development so much, it's part of our vocabulary now, and it should be. But how many years will it take? It's almost like we identify the problem, we document it, and then what happens, right?
You're on to something. As you know, in 2014, the Chetty study identified the fact that Charlotte, our fair city, among 50 major cities in the country, was the least successful at moving poor people out of poverty into working in the middle class. And in a similar study also looked at 100 counties across the country. And we came out 99 out of 100 for educational opportunity. The Oxfam America report also highlights that North Carolina, unfortunately, is the least favorable state in the country for working class women to make it. And that's the second year running. I think we were 2000 and 2021, the state was listed the worst in the nation. Now, of course, there's wonderful things going on in the state, but when you talk about poor people, it's a different conversation, quite frankly.
It's like breaking that cycle. It's almost invisible, but you can feel it when you're poor.
You can, absolutely. And this COVID-19 exposed this sort of intractable nature of poverty. And through the social determinants of health, if you live in an environment where you don't have a safe environment to live in, nutrition isn't as it should be. If you're living in an environment that's not well heated, we can go down so many levels, right, that really speak to a sort of conspiring of factors that keep people poor. Of course, in COVID-19, it exposed them to real harm. And we lost a lot of people across the country who had pre-existing illnesses and obviously didn't have access to adequate health care. And we lost a lot of good people to a very bad virus.
All right. If you're just not tuning in, we got a new best friend this morning. He is the Charlotte Area Fund President and CEO. It's Nick Wharton. Your role, your experience, your wisdom, your everything makes you the perfect candidate for this role. Where do you want to see it go in 2022, 2023? Because 2023 is almost here and 2024 is not far away.
Yeah, well, I'd like the Charlotte Area Fund to be one of the most trusted agencies to provide support for the least economically able citizens of Mecklenburg County. And we provide workforce development. We provide a whole range of services, career pathways and HVAC, broadband, fiber optics, med tech, highway construction, CDL. We have a whole range of workforce development opportunities for folk to rethink their lives. And COVID has allowed people to do that in many cases. Whole industries were kind of X'd out. And people came to us for rental assistance, housing support, so we kept families in their homes. We provided broad wraparound support services. We provided PPE for families. We just did a whole range of things in the spirit of helping people and changing lives, which, by the way, is the mantra of community action agencies across the nation.
Where do we see these folks who got help? Because sometimes help looks like $50. Sometimes help looks like $150. It's just enough to get by that week. But when you say sustainability, you've seen successes, and we can go to the website, charlotteareafund.org, to find some.
That's right. The reality is that there are systemic barriers, right? Structural barriers, policies, practices that have been governing all our lives for many years. Some, quite frankly, structured around institutional racism, classism, homophobia. There's so many inherent barriers that marginalized people have to work through, right? However, what we understand from our own personal lives of dealing with challenges, through hard work, good things can happen. And the other factor is that there's a lot of help and support available, and people just don't always know. And the bigger picture is that many families and individuals have been sort of traumatized by the experiences they're having, and they're immobilized, and they think that they don't have much hope. And so our agency, along with a broad level of social sector agencies, all come together and do various things, help people in need. So we aren't the only organization doing this. We like to think we do it pretty well. Community Action Agency has been doing it for a very long time.
Wow, this 24/7 job that you have is amazing, right? You can't even go to sleep without thinking about it.
Well, you know, you're right about that. I do think at night sometimes about the challenges that our clients are going through, and our staff does as well. When you're in the social services space, you really do have to kind of channel your energies appropriately and not use yourself up. You got to get reinvigorated because it will consume you. Self-care becomes very important. I'll give you an example. Many organizations, because of COVID-19, and companies, for-profit and others, had to literally close their doors. Nonprofit organizations, many don't exist these days because they weren't able to sustain themselves. We were fortunate enough. We've got $1.9 million CARES Act funding that helped us to go virtual. All our staff was set up with technology at home, and it continued to provide success coaching and services, and our workforce development initiatives went virtual, so we're able to continue to provide that. We provide telemedicine for families who shut in. We provided food and nutrition to families. We had a major event on July 29th. It's called the Big Papa, and we partnered with the Park Church, and we served close to 2,000 families. Over 900 cars drove through the parking lot there, and they popped their trunks up, and we provided all kinds of frozen foods and produce and household goods and a whole range of things. And quite frankly, what was pretty stunning to me, two things, is that the lines on Independence were backed up almost a quarter mile each way of people wanting to get in. Some families were there 5:30 in the morning. The event opened at 10. And I can tell you, if we had a similar event right now, there would be similar lines because people were still living without.
I was going to mention the shortage of food that they keep predicting, and I don't want to bring it up as if it's going to be a real thing, but if people are hungry now and then we have a shortage of food, guess what?
Yeah. Well, the supply chain, you know, global supply chain has been profoundly interrupted, technology side, and certainly the conflict in Ukraine, which is a huge grain producer, feeds the various parts of the world. All of that has been held up. Most recently, you had women's products being held up. There's so many dynamics. This supply chain is really unpredictable. And so we'll all have to just learn to be prepared to deal with uncertainty.
Remember back in the day when neighbors would help neighbors? I mean, we have a really good philanthropic thread here in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yes.
But it has to go deeper inside everyone's home. Like, I don't want to see you starving.
Right.
Period.
That's a great point. And, you know, I'm a great believer, person of deep faith. And so I've had a chance to see a lot of people simply help each other, you know, neighbors helping neighbors. We don't always talk about that, but you're right. Charlotte is a deep philanthropic community. It's wired that way. Our challenge has been, I think, building much more cross-cultural trust, right? Getting past the notion that let me just help you with this item you have or this concern you have, but deeply developing sustainable relationships where we're interdependent as opposed to dependent relationships, where we're interdependent relationships, And therein lies the challenge, not just for Charlotte, but for the nation, as you can see, with the politics the way they are today.
Yes. Here's the deal. Some folks are already 45, 55, 65.
Right.
And we were told we're supposed to have our life all together, the 401k, we're supposed to have our retirement, we're supposed to have all this insurance, but some of us have not been able to do that. That's right. How old can we be?
The bottom line is that for our clients, those below 200% of the federal poverty guideline, that's an eligibility factor for us. But we have clients, customers from 19 years old to 60, 65. We have a senior program too. One of the determining factors, really, is in my estimation, that leads to success is that the clients that come to us truly dissatisfied with their current circumstance to the degree that it moves them to action are those who are at least in the game. And then our success coaches sort of help from there. So being sufficiently dissatisfied with your current situation, making the first step, coming to the agency, and understanding that there's a vision of change in your mind that you have, and we can help nurture and develop really, right? And then, of course, we try to build a social support system around you, one that is predictable, that you can rely on your success coach to give you insight, not to just enable you, but to help empower you, really, and to kind of move you forward and put opportunities around you and in front of you, not just for you, because if you're eligible for the Charlotte Area Fund as a head of household, your whole family is eligible to receive support, right? And so once those elements are in place, now it's on you to kind of move forward. And all of that, all of what I just mentioned, as important as those items are, they have to be greater than the most difficult factor in most of families' lives that come to us, and that is resistance. The idea that I can't do it, the sort of trauma in your life, the messages you've told yourself as a child, but even as an adult, the things that are swirling in your head that take from your confidence, that reduces your energy to move forward, that you have to deal with, right, in order to get over the hump. Because if not, you'll become dissatisfied even more so, right? So it's a cycle in a way. And so we try to help families to move through those challenges, phases, really.
Poverty is a spell.
Yeah, it's a state of mind.
Have you believe in that you are not anything?
That's right.
It seems like the barricade, the walls, the system.
That's right.
Whatever it is, that energy will work its way up your head.
I grew up in New York City, a friend, and I grew up in a working and poor class community in Jamaica, Queens. There are a lot of working families around me, but there are a lot of families that were hurting. We want public assistance. It can be very demoralizing to go to a system that is insensitive to you, here to help you, but sort of makes you feel a little marginalized, right? And so that just sends messages to you about your value. And then you're dealing with a community of police, perhaps maybe not so a bit hostile to you in some respects, or you see poverty all around you. You just think that if you can't see it, you don't have a sense of differences. Thanks be to God. For me, I played basketball and I had a lot of strong people in my space that helped direct me. It wasn't always family. My father was an abusive individual to my mom. He was not in the home as he should have been. And so I sought encouragement and direction elsewhere from coaches and other strong men. I try to be that to others, and that's my story, right? But there are a lot of individuals in this town that are helping to change the life trajectory of young people and families.
You have to be 200% under the poverty line. I'm like, right. Are we damn near homeless?
At one point, our poverty line was 125% federal poverty line. That's like maybe $16,000, $17,000 for one person in the family, if I'm not mistaken. In recent year, we were able to raise that, right, to 200%. So we were able to help more people. And so, Fran, one of the things that was interesting over this pandemic that we saw in our agency is that there were people who were newly associated with poverty. They were working middle class. They were doing well. But whole industries evaporated. In hospitality and service industries disappeared. And so we had a number of individuals come to us and say, I don't want to go back to working in a restaurant business. I want to do something else more sustainable. And so they were able to kind of think about what do I want to do differently. And so folks said, one person would say, I want to go to a med tech career. I want to become a CNA1, CNA2, registered nurse. healthcare is exploding. I want to go into that area, right? Some people actually went into HVAC, you know, so when going to the trades, we have people going to become electricians. HVAC jobs are paying $18 to $25 an hour. The world is global heating, you know, is real, right? And so on one level, you need an HVAC person for air conditioning and heating. So you won't ever have to worry about a job if you have an HVAC certification.
I want to take that class, Nick.
That's right. Electrician or plumber, you know, the trades, you know, are just very, and you don't need a four-year degree for those jobs. You need a certification, 3 to 4 month certification, short-term certification that can, or you want to go into coding in the tech area, right? And some of those jobs are paying $65,000 to $80,000 a year. So there are a lot of options for folk who have the energy and motivation to reach out. And there are a lot of people providing these services. We happen to be one.
Wow. Do you lead us down the path where we can get the training? Because you have, I would imagine you've got right relationships like nobody else.
Yeah, we've got a lot of partners. We have a lot of strategic partnerships. And so no one makes it alone. Nobody does this alone. We're not alone in this. We've got lots of partners. We have training providers that we contract with. They rely on us because the agency has had a long history in Charlotte at the meeting families when they're in their most, you know, serious crisis. And we have people look back and say, well, Charlotte Area Fund helped me, and Charlotte Area Fund helped me. And just, the history is long. So, yeah, we have lots of strategic partners that we utilize, and we're in this thing together.
I could talk to you all morning, Nick. Yeah. We got to talk about the current COVID awareness campaign.
I'd like to talk about that. Yes. So if we've learned anything through COVID-19, is that we've learned that good health is wealth. And what I mean by that is that clearly, we've lost over a million people, or more than that, globally, to this dreadful virus. And one of the factors has been those with pre-existing illnesses, those whose immune systems are challenged. And the virus has exploited that, right? That was a surprise to many. Yes, and for low-income folks, it became a real, real serious factor. And so we realize the virus is going to be with us. We've got a new virus now that's highly contagious, even more contagious than the previous COVID. And we realize that being in good health could really be a major plus. We've got to get strong. Our entire community has got to get stronger, right? Eat well, exercise, see your doctor, get boosted and vaccination, because our community has a high vaccination hesitancy rate. So, and many people are still unvaccinated. And so with this new virus, while it may not kill you, you know, it has broken through the vaccines and the boosters, right? And so people are getting reinfected on a regular basis, they say. That's what the research says. But those who are not vaccinated at all, you know, their fate could be as it was 24 months ago, and particularly those 60 and above. So we're just real concerned about that. And we just have a campaign that is trying to usher in a lifestyle, right? Of good health is wealth. Your health is your wealth.
Well, you had me at Success Coaching Work Readiness Training and Support Services, just so you know. Yeah. Do most people go to the website, or do they call if they need help, or do they need a referral?
So this is the deal. So we're not a healthcare provider, and we partner with C.W. Williams Community Health Center, which is a federally qualified health center that works with clients economically disadvantaged like ours. So we partner with them on this campaign. You can go to our website. We have information around, you know, COVID awareness and a variety of different information and data, but you can also see information about C.W. Williams, and that's our healthcare partner who is really in the trenches with us. Debbie Weeks and her organization, we go hand in hand with them. And we've done a lot of work together at the beginning of the COVID with awareness, and we're still doing it now with them today.
I've seen billboards around town. What else do you have going on?
Yeah, thanks. I'm glad you saw those billboards with Dorothy Counts on it and others who are on our board. We have a broad social media campaign. We've got Facebook and various social media pieces, radio pieces. We've got in partnership with C.W. Williams and the good Dr. Holliday is talking about the importance of staying healthy. So that's really the deal. And so it's been great. We launched, quite frankly, at Juneteenth this year. And that was the campaign. And we were providing, you know, $50 gas cards for families. We were doing a whole range of things. So we launched it then, and it'll go for the next 3 months, bringing awareness to why it's important that we stay healthy.
We're going to take a short break, but guess what? We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Francine Marie Show. We're popping out for a quick cup of tea, but we'll be right back.
This is my jam and jelly, y'all, on the Francine Marie Show. Spread that show out, girl. Spread it out.
Please, please do not harm us. We have come to your planet for one thing, the Francine Marie Show. It's the only content we can digest.